June 26, 2023, it's a Lot for Pedro show. Show, happy Monday. Come on, Watt. 22 years doing this show, I'm still blowing fucking clamps. Started off with John Coltrane doing Training In. Well, it's only an excerpt. A gig they did on November 22, 1962 in his quartet. And then we had Coffin Prick with Legendary Sweet Tooth. And because of those software engineers in Estonia with a Skype invention, I got with me Ryan. Oh, excuse me. I'm choking to death here. Of course, 22 years, I'm still fucking up the shows, right?
I'm right there with you.
So, go fucking introduce yourself then.
Hello, how's it going, Mike? It's Ryan Weinstein.
Ryan here. Weinstein, there it is. Well, all the fucking file names said Coffin Prick, so I had to go look on the calendar to find your name. Ryan Weinstein.
Weinstein,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's all good.
Although, if you lived in Germany, you would say Stein. I had the Mr. Bernstein, the great trumpet player, same thing. It got you Americanized. Yeah, their EI is always I, and the IE is always E.
Oh, yeah. I have Russian and German blood, so that's That's in there. You're talking about
I'm just talking about fucking spelling in Germany and spelling in the U.S. That's all. Because you know what? We're all one fucking race, right? Let's, you know, this human race, and that's good enough for what? And anyway, it's not where you're from, it's where you're at, right? Mr. Sly Stone said that. Because you don't pick that former thing, but you might have something to do with that latter thing. And I'm really interested in your journey through music. So will you please take us on that journey? In fact, let's start with your earliest musical recollection, please.
Sure. Yeah. Let's see. When I was very young, I was given like a lot of kids, I had a little Fisher-Price record player when I was a kid.
I never did.
That's it.
I never did.
Oh, no. Wow. I had one. I had one. And
I know what they are.
Yeah. I mean, that was it. We had record. There wasn't a lot of music around my house. My dad, I grew up with my father. My mom was more the music person. She was real into the Beatles, Jimi Hendrix. Her favorite band was the Doobie Brothers. She loved the Doobie Brothers.
No, the question is your earliest musical recollection. It has something to do with this Fisher-Price turntable.
Well, yeah, we had some little records around the house. I couldn't remember the first records that I listened to exactly, but I remember the first thing that I had that made a big impact on me. I had a cassette at some point of John Williams, the composer, the film composer John Williams. I was given a cassette of his music sometime in the early 80s, and it really made a huge impact on me and probably stuck with me to this day, whether I think about it consciously or not.
That's your earliest musical recollection. Let me ask you some other questions here.
Yeah, sure.
First record you bought with your own money.
I remember that. Yes, it was. Funnily enough, it was a Duran Duran album, Seven and the Ragged Tigers. I remember I bought that album.
All right.
When it came
now, because when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money. That's why I asked that question. And what was the first gig you saw?
Well, more importantly, I'll tell you the first record that made a big, the actual record that made
Didn't
a big
you just hear me ask you? What was
What's
the
that?
First gig you saw?
The first gig I saw? Oh, gosh. First gig I saw was probably 1981. It was, 82. It was Neil Diamond.
The date ain't important, but the man is.
Yeah,
coming to America.
Yeah.
Cracker and Rosie, get on board.
You know,
okay.
I have a later in life appreciation for his music. I love that guy's shit.
I'm a believer, right? The Monkees covered him.
You ever hear Robert Wyatt do that?
No, I haven't.
It's amazing. Fred Frith, I think, plays on it. And, yeah, Nick Mason from Pink Floyd. It's real amazing.
Okay, I got to hear that. Now, let me ask you this. In school, were you in the marching band or the choir?
No. I tried out for the jazz band, but I got rejected. I was what you would call a delinquent. So they didn't really give me much of a shot, as schools tend to do, based on my rather than encouraging me, they discouraged me because my quote-unquote conduct was poor. But I really had an interest in music and illustration especially.
Interest in music with musical illustrations?
No. Drawing and making music were my two favorite things.
Okay.
And I felt like I was discouraged from both because of my behavior, whereas I felt like maybe if they had, you know, encouraged me to follow something I really loved, there might have been a different situation at hand.
Yeah. It's trippy about the what ifs. Let me ask you this. You eventually got into making music. Now, how'd you start?
Yeah.
Well, obviously the institutional approach did not work. So how did you go and do that?
Well, I heard, I guess for me, probably like a lot of people, was hearing punk rock.
I ain't talking to a lot of people. I'm talking to you.
For me, I'll tell you, it was hearing music that made me feel like it was something I could touch, something I could approach. And it was hearing things like the Ramones and things like that.
No, Max. What I'm asking is, I mean, Ryan, not Max. Stupid ass what? Ryan, what I'm asking you is, how did you get into playing music?
Well, that's what I mean, hearing those records and seeing that, like,
No, I'm talking physically, like you grabbing an instrument or grabbing a microphone or something like
that. I had a friend that had a guitar.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Okay, yeah. You got a buddy. How old were you?
I don't know, 11 probably.
Well, I wasn't there. You got to tell me.
I was 11.
Okay,
well,
you were 11.
Exactly. I don't have a Rolodex of dates in my mind. I was very young, 11, 12. I probably picked up a guitar.
Well, you probably got a better idea of it than I do.
Yeah, I believe that.
So when you say you know, you can't assume I know because I wasn't there. I'm a little bit older than you maybe, too.
Oh, you know, it's just a figure of speech. You know. I was 11 or 12.
Okay, so you got a buddy. You didn't pick up a guitar. A buddy let you use his.
Well, he didn't. He actually, I remember he wasn't even in the room.
Whoa,
I just picked
okay.
up his guitar and started strumming it. I'd never touched a guitar before.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, what happened after that?
I told him I was interested. I told my buddy I was interested, and he
started, now he must have been in the room. He must have been in the room if you asked him.
Well, but when he came back, you know, I was in the room. Oh, you want me to set the specific scene? I'll tell you. I picked up his guitar. I was playing with it. He came back in the room and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I'd never touched a guitar before." And he said, "Do you want me to show you? Do you want me to teach you a few chords?" And I said, "Yeah, absolutely." And
gotta
then I
give
just
this guy credit. Then we gotta give this guy credit. What's his name?
Brian Anger.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah.
Kenneth Anger, right? We just lost him.
Yeah, he just passed away. What was
okay.
that last week before last?
Right,
yeah.
right. Long life, though. Very creative. Okay, and he mixed music up with film and stuff. You know, you say in drawing and music, of course, they're all artistic expression, but on what Peter show here, mainly music. So Brian teaches you some chords. Do you end up getting your own guitar?
I did a couple years down the road from then. I actually got a bass first.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Why?
Well, he was playing the guitar. So
oh, you want to make a band?
Yeah. I okay. said I should probably play the bass then.
So your first band is with Brian?
Well, we didn't really have a band, but we were trying. We never played a gig. We never really wrote any songs. We did a lot of covers in his bedroom. But
yeah,
we
but that's
we
playing.
Good.
That's playing. It's
yeah,
just playing
yeah.
to you, each other. It's not playing for our crowd.
I
still play.
That. Yeah.
Ryan, you don't know how many hours I did that with D. Boone, and I consider it playing still.
I definitely consider it playing. I wouldn't say that we had a band, though. There was no name. There was no organization. It was more we would get together after school. It was the only thing I wanted to do.
Well, let's say it was a duet then.
Yeah, let's call it that. We had a drum machine at one point, I think, too.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah.
But no tunes. That's what me and D. Boone did. We copied songs off records.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all we were doing, yeah.
How long did this go on?
A couple years, 1 year, 2 years maybe, and then we kind of drifted apart. And I think he probably lost his interest in pursuing music, where at that point I had become consumed with it. It was the only thing I wanted to do. And I dropped the idea of becoming an illustrator, and I was purely focused on music. I lost interest in school. I lost interest in socializing, really. I lost interest in any. I was just that's just all I wanted to do.
And what kind of guitar was that?
At that point, I had a copy of a Hondo Stratocaster.
Well, a Hondo is a copy of a Stratocaster.
Yeah, it was a it was like this, you know, similar.
No,
design.
I know Hondos. They had basses
too.
Yeah, like a little while ago. And amplifier?
I had a PV amplifier was the first one, a 1 12-inch speaker PV amplifier.
And since you really were starting to get into music, did you start recording yourself?
No, I didn't start doing that until probably the time I was like 17 or 18, I guess. I got a Tascam 4-track tape recorder.
Yeah. And that whole meantime, you're not taking, because you're not getting lessons. The guy ain't playing anymore, right, Brian? So,
well, I did take two lessons on the bass guitar, and I remember going to take a bass lesson.
That's right, because with Brian, you're playing bass. What kind of bass did you have?
That first bass I had was a Kramer bass guitar.
Sure.
I couldn't remember the model, honestly.
Did it have a metal neck, right?
It wasn't one of the ones with the aluminum neck, no.
Well, that's kind of good because those things are lame.
Yeah, no, this is, yeah. I was a little
I know, I heard people say that they're happening and stuff, but, man, I played one of them Kramer aluminum neck basses. It is terrible.
Oh, no, man. I mean, I weighed 90 pounds soaking wet. There was no way, you know. So I was
yeah, they are to heavy, know. Too, yeah. But they sound yeah. terrible, too. Okay, okay. And what kind of amp did you run that bass through?
The same amp. I didn't know. You know, oh, I was just playing wow. through the amp okay. over there, yeah.
Sure, sure, sure.
I never stopped playing bass. I was doing bass and guitar. But at certain points in my life, the bass became the focus. And certain points of life, the guitar was more what I was doing, you know. But I always was involved in both, you know. But the bass thing, I'll tell you about the lesson. The two lessons I took, you know, I went and took a lesson. The first one, it was just this guy just talking down to me the whole time. And then I took another one, and he said, you know, I brought in a tape, a cassette tape of, I think it was the Ramones. I think it was
Leave Home by the Ramones. He's going to talk down at you on your first lesson? How does he know where you're at?
He wouldn't even listen to me. I would tell him what I was interested in. He's like, that's not music, you know. And then by the second
lesson. You know what? You shouldn't have done a second lesson.
Well, I know. So check this out. So I go okay. do the second lesson, and he's got me doing Mary Had a Little Lamb. I said, you know, I'm okay.
On the bass? Right.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. You know, I'm just like, I'm okay. You know. And then I just went home and played my ass off, and, you know, every day.
By learning off records, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
No, that's basically how me and D. Boone did, too. Although there was a cat who showed us stuff. But not with that kind, you know, especially Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Yeah, it was ridiculous, you know. It was just like, I was just scratching my head, you know.
Look, I got to see, you got to tell us how we got to Coffin Pricks, because that's all you gave me. Well, no, you gave me a couple of, no, it's all Coffin Prick.
No, it's not, actually. It's two different things.
Oh, no, but you gave me some extra stuff, like, what is this thing here?
I gave you one piece of music I made just for your show, actually. And then there's a delineation between the two things. So there's Coffin Prick, and then there's Coffin Pricks.
Oh, Coffin that's Pricks right. The last hour, we play some stuff that's only Coffin Prick. And before that, all the tunes are Coffin Pricks in the first 2 hours.
Yeah, well, the legendary Sweet Tooth, if that's what you played, that's Coffin Prick. That's off the
No, album. I haven't played that yet, but that will come. Oh. That will come. The only thing I've played so far is legendary, the first tune, right? Well, let's play some Coffin Pricks. Brilliant Boris.
Yeah.
Burning to the castle.
farce was ended, the curtains drawn, and I at least pretended that love was dead and gone. But now from nowhere you come to me as before, to take my heart and break my heart once more. Get out of town before it's too late, my love. Get out of town, be good to me, please. Why wish me harm? Why not retire to the farm and be contented to charm the birds of the trees? Just disappear, I care for you much too much. And when you are near, close to me, dear, we touch too much. The thrill when we meet is so bittersweet that, darling, is getting me down. So on your mark, get set, get out of town.
speaks floating time is like a voice at the end. Beginning this day not knowing if or when.
Show. Start off that chunk of music with Coffin Pricks, people. This has got the S. That means there was more than one involved, I assume. Dangerous word, assume. After that, Whale. This is Yanni from last edition. Project got with his brother, Alexi. He knows what it is. And then another project is Last of the Red Hot Lovers, Get Out of Town. Zach Rosen with Vassal. Somebody in this day and age. That's great to revive that word. Peter Brotzmann octet with Machine Gun. Peter Brotzmann, a great sax man. We lost him last week, 82, though, and he kept gigging all the way. Big inspiration. Todd Apperson, Pedro guy who lives up in the Northwest nowadays. Sharp sea in the face of the tree still smiles at me. This is the last music he recorded, Man Alone. Sort of like what you were doing, Ryan, when you got started. Wolf Eyes off their new record, Exploding Time, and finally Coffin Pricks. Again, plural, Pete. Right kind of loot. Explain Coffin Pricks.
Okay. Well, the name is the place to start for me because Coffin Prick was always meant to be an umbrella name in which I could do anything under. Coffin Pricks happened to have been the first group where it was a live group with me and other people, including a guy named Chris Thompson, who was a singer of a bunch of bands, Circus Lupus, The Mon Orchids, Skull Control, Las Mordidas, a guy from Washington, D.C., who I had played in a group with called the Red-Eyed Legends. I was playing bass guitar in that group. We split up. Chris was living with me. I started making this music for him to sing with a drummer in Chicago named Jeff Rice. All this music of Coffin Pricks started in Chicago. So,
were you in Chicago at the time?
I was in Chicago at the time, yeah. Okay. I was there for 17 years.
Whoa, I did not know. When did you get to SoCal?
Say again?
When did you get out to SoCal?
Well, I was here in 99 to 2000, and then I moved to Chicago 2000 to 2017, and then I was here, and then moved here in 2017.
Okay. So, kind of like the bungee cord snapped you back?
Well, I was playing with some people here, and I decided that it would be a good time to come back here. Actually, someone you've had on your show, a guy named Emmett Kelly, I was playing music with him.
I saw him Thursday in Highland Park at the gig with Parubu.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I wouldn't shit you, right?
I was working on one of
Yeah, he's
that.
An incredible guitar man. And the Chicago connect.
He is. He and I were in a group called the Cairo Gang together for a number of years.
You know what? The person he came to the gig with? David Pajo.
Oh, really?
I wouldn't shit you.
I believe it.
Isn't that a trip? Okay, so you were playing with Emmett in Chicago. Okay. Well, he's living in California now.
He is. He's from here, yeah. But he'd been living in Chicago.
Well, he snapped back, right? Because he did a... Yeah. Maybe people are meant to pull a shift in Chicago before they move somewhere else.
It's a good place to do it,
You know
think.
What? It's got great chemistry. A lot of cats come together, especially Midwest people can come together and, you know, big shoulders, right?
Yeah. I'm getting ready to go play there for the first time since Emmett and I were there probably 2018. I haven't been out there in a long time. I'm going to play there. I'm doing a show of my music with all Chicago musicians. I have a band in Chicago and a band in Los Angeles. I'm looking forward to going.
Let's get back to your journey. Okay, so yeah. Coffin Prick was you call it an umbrella name.
Yeah.
What was the first thing you did as a Coffin Prick?
First thing I did as Coffin Prick was some home recordings I didn't release, but the first thing...
Was that the four-track, the Tasking?
That was some stuff I did through the years. I intended to release it, but I just kind of lost track of it. And by that point, I had put this group together, and I thought, I want to call it Coffin Pricks. Because it's not just me, you know, and it felt right. I like the name phonetically. It doesn't mean anything, you know. It just sounds good. So then I had this group and I put it together.
Well, you know what makes me think of? There's a slang for cigarettes, coffin nails, and nails are sort of like dicks.
Yeah.
So a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. I mean, I've heard all kinds of stuff. You know, people tell me all kinds of shit. I just say, okay, yeah, it could be that. Why not?
Or from Heidegger, I mean, fuck, you know, he's fucking Nazi and shit. But the shit about, you know, you're going to die and shit. So maybe something to make you alive, like an existential, like a little prick, like, hey, life ain't forever. You better get to it if you want to create.
There's a little bit of that in there, to be honest.
Yeah. So I think it's a good, I think it's got a lot, you know, a good name is something with a lot of possibilities, I think.
Yes, open, you know.
Absolutely.
It's for you. You know, I think a lot of people try to lead people a little too much. It's not my responsibility, you know.
Yeah, like Bone, what was that name of that band? Bone Mati. So Brother Steve, the sax man for the Stooges, told me he was involved with this project, Bone Mateen.
Hmm.
Yeah, I know, kind of cryptic, right? Look, we're at the end of the first hour. And sometimes that's good, too, because it keeps people wondering, like a Zen Cohen or something. We're at the end of the end of June 26, 2023 edition. Watch Pedro Show. Special guest, Ryan Weinstein.
Steve.
I'm such an asshole. I'm so sorry, Ryan. Ryan Weinstein. Hold tight, Ryan, too. June 26, 2023. It's the second hour of Watch for Pedro Show.
Yeah.
Hot for Pedro show. Start off the second hour with Coffin Prick, people. This is Sangular, so it's Ryan Weinstein, Man Alone Mode. And this is The Big Hunger. Then we had Rick Weaver and Mike Host. Not Most. He's the host with the most post. Anyway, they got a new proj, and this is Moonlight Mosaic. Beautiful. Coffin Pricks. Now, this is plural. So this is an ensemble, people, with Ryan. TV Detention. Then Troposphere 7, brand new album. And this is Chack Instant. It's a weird word, Chack. C-H-A-Q-U-E. Never heard of it. Maybe I'm pronouncing it wrong. Cheer Accident after that, Chicago band. They were on last week. 1:30/3:30/5:30 p.m. That's a good title. Coffin Prick, Singular People. Ryan Weinstein, Man Alone Mode with Swimming, which you usually do alone, unless you're drowning and you need help. Okay, so off-air, people, I was enlightened to the fact that there's only been one version of the plural. Tell us about that one, Ryan.
Yeah, Coffin Pricks is a band. It's a group that I put together. I wrote all the music for it, but I played with other people as opposed to my music, which I record pretty much on my own. It was a group I made in Chicago with a guy named Chris Thompson, a singer who was in a bunch of groups I admired. He and I were in a group called the Red Eyed Legends together. That kind of split up, and so I decided I want to make music for him to sing. I had already come up with the name Coffin Prick, but it was always an umbrella in which I could do stuff. So I figured, okay, let's do this. You know, I got Chris to play. I got a guy named Jeff Rice to play the drums. We went in, made a record, probably recorded 13, 14 songs. I played the bass and the guitar on it, and we did a handful of gigs. And then Chris wound up moving to the Bay Area, and that was the end of that. It lasted about a year and a half, and that was it, really.
Tell me about the first Coffin Pricks gig.
First Coffin Pricks gig. You know what's messed up, man? I can't even remember it. Let me think here. The first gig that we did, I want to say, was at a DIY space in Chicago. Man, I really, honestly, to be honest, I can't remember it. It's so far removed from my thinking.
That's okay. That's okay. It's a Watch from Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers.
Good.
Now let's get into the fucking Singular.
Yeah.
Big Hunger. Swimming. I want to know, what's kind of the process when it's time to Man Alone and Coffin Prick it?
Well, I'll just sit there and stare into the abyss and see what comes back to me. I just kind of sit down. Oftentimes I'll have ideas just kind of bouncing around my head, and I recorded the majority of that record in particular when everybody was kind of just staying home for this COVID situation. And bought a computer. I never was a computer recorder, and I would just sit there and just spend. I'd get up, I'd walk my dog for about 3 or 4 miles. I'd come home about 9 a.m., make something to eat, and just record till about 8 p.m. Go walk the dog, come back, record until about 3 a.m., go bed, and do the same thing. And I did that for about a year. And what happened there was this album.
Okay, to get specific, The Big Hunger.
Big Hunger. Well, this is probably the first time I started really kind of using synthesizers at home, because I recorded this record in my apartment. I wasn't going to blast away with amplifiers and stuff. I wanted to keep my place. So that started with me just multi-tracking a lot of synthesizers and trying to learn to use them. And that was the outcome of that, really. I was thinking about John Fonte when I made that piece there.
Yeah, because Acid Dust, huh? There's Pedro in that book.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to hook up The Big Hunger. You know, because, you know, instrumentals are trippy, right? Titles like John Coltrane, Alabama, for example.
Yeah.
There's a lot of weight, right? Because you don't have lyrics.
Well, that's the beauty of it, right?
So
it's
when
like we were talking about with the name. It's open. Once it's out of my hands, it's up to you to decide what you think it is. You
well,
know?
That was more band names, but maybe it goes to tune names too. I know you can't copy. You can't copyright a song title, but you can copyright a band name.
Yeah.
So they ain't the same thing.
I think as far as the titles go, it's usually just where I am at that time. you know, where I'm, what's on my mind. It doesn't really matter to me. So, I'm not going to hold anybody's hand through it, you know.
So one tune. Well, yeah. I mean, you don't even have to talk about it. I've had guests that say, why do you think I wrote, recorded the fucking song? Why do I have to talk about it? So Big Hunger, Swimming, those sound like some, well, one is more of like a kind of description, and the other one is kind of an activity.
Well, one, without getting too deep into the meaning, I mean, the song Swimming was kind of me thinking about the thing that starts to happen to you when you get older. You start to wonder if you're going to wake up the next day. You know, what happens if you don't? That's really what I was thinking about.
Maybe one thing is certain: you ain't going to be swimming.
but when you're alive, you know, getting through your day, that's sort of what you're doing.
I think swimming is a great fucking metaphor or symbol or some kind of thing to trip on or meditate, because in some ways. Yeah, that's what your heart's swimming to keep your fucking blood going, right? Yeah, yeah, liquid, you know. Look, here's a tune you gave me, and this is the Sangular, Crooked Wisdom. Let's listen.
saltwater air. There's just something different. Even though I'm 20 something miles from the beach, from the ocean here, you know, there's just still something about it. There's just something in the air, you know.
Well, you know what's near you there? There's a Silver Lake Reservoir, so you could always.
Oh yeah.
I think they got paddle boats.
Not in the reservoir. You can do that at Echo Park.
Oh, that's what it is. That's what it is.
Because
people got to drink out of the reservoir. People got to drink out of there. They can't have you pissing and doing your boat. Let's tell the people what they just heard. Start off that chunk of music with Crooked Wisdom, Coffin Prick. Chinese Herbal Medicine, brand new. It's called Greed. Handsome Furs out of Finland with White City. Coffin Prick again. Because you didn't send me 11 tunes, you sent me 13. But I want everybody to hear it. Rusty Lemonade. Ooh, that's an image. Henry Kaiser, Rome Yamalong, with Alabama March, Down in Mississippi. And finally, Coffin Pricks with Group Home Haircut. Yeah, that's an image too. Titles are heavy. When do titles come? Beginning, middle, or end?
End.
Okay. Well, no, I ask a lot of my guests that because Watt has to put him first or I can't write the song. I need something to anchor to.
Well, I've done some things where I've started with just titles, like just as a cues, you know, to kind of like, let's go there. But with the more often than not, I'd say it comes at the end there.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just curious. You know, the whole idea of composing really amazes me. You know, like it's kind of like drawing. It's kind of like ceramics. It's kind of like building a house. Shit in a brick. Yeah. Brick shit house. Yeah. Tell me about Crooked Wisdom.
What about it? What do you want to know?
Whatever you want to tell me. I'm not fucking right, Warren Berger, and I'm going to lose the case because Perry Mason ain't even going to let it go to the jury, right? He's going to make the motherfucker stand up and admit it. My mother loved that show.
I want to have more of a Columbo-type relationship here. Let's see.
No, it's a big trip about Columbo. They let you know. It's not a whodunit. They let you know. The only thing you don't know is how he's going to fucking bother the person who did it into admitting it.
Well, you know for sure he's going to say one more thing, and then suddenly it's, you know.
It's because it's going to drive them out of their fucking head, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what about group home haircut? I mean, you were trying to be funny there, right, maybe?
Yeah, for sure. Group home haircut, that was the first song I wrote for that Coffin Pricks band. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. It's plural, people. This is the ensemble.
Yeah, that's the only... There's a full LP of that music coming out that we recorded in that same session, but all that ever came out when we existed was 145, and that was the A side to it, Group Home Haircut.
And when was this stuff recorded, Ryan?
That was 2013, I think, probably.
Wow, you know what Mr. Wells taught us? We will sell no wine before it's time. Right, it's like fucking $2 Chuck Masson Brothers. Bullshit. We're at the end of the second. I don't mean to laugh, but that was his last work, I think, was those commercials. Yeah.
No, I know. I just love it. You know, it's like they're just pulling these rabbits out of the hat. You know, I love it. It's just,
or out of their ass. Anyway, we've come to the end of the second hour, June 26, 2023 edition. Watt Peters, a special guest, Ryan Weinstein, people. The one and only. Hold tight for hour three. June 26, 2023. It's third hour of the Watt for Peters show.
We'll be right back. my volcano. Good grass, a meditative spot, an acre for a bird to choose would be the general thought. How red the fire rocks below, how insecure the sod did I disclose.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show. Start off the third hour with Coffin Prick singular, Man Alone, Ryan Weinstein. Smooth Rubber Ailment. That's an image. And no, titles can be fun, people. Emily Dickinson and Crane. This is Crane using this old poet lady's words for his situation. And he used the one on My Volcano Grows the Grass up in Idaho. Born Shit Stirs out of Fukuoka, Japan with No Place Like Home Unless It's My Home. See, you have fun with titles, people. Then As Slow as the Stream, this is part one of three from Alex Cunningham on the violin. A Produce, Brand New Initiation. Yeah, usually you start with initiation. And then finally, Coffin Prick Sangular, Laughing. There was I'm thinking of Piper at the Gates of Dawn, Sid Barrett, right? But it's Flaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, not laughing. You can't catch me, but you can't see me, but I can. That is a trippy record. Speaking of synthesizers, they made them sound, they didn't have them yet, so they made them with a mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that a trippy record? Yeah. Yeah.
I still remember the first time I heard that record. I had a really mind-blowing experience. I learned that I like the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Captain Beefheart all in the same night.
Well, what's trippy is you find out, well, maybe not in your case, but most of the people I knew, we found out there was two Pink Floyds because we didn't know about the Sid Barrett one. We knew about this Dark Side of the Moon one. So they released Sauce Full of Secrets and Piper at the Gates of Dawn, called it a nice pair, but they fucking switch out the Astronomy Domini from the studio one for the Umagumma one with David Gilmour, the man who took his place, his buddy.
Yeah.
I guess there's four or five gigs where there's a five-man Pink Floyd. But
well, similarly, I can tell you a real quick story. Right. You know, if you got time, I was having a hallucinogenic experience with a friend of mine, a real good friend of mine, and his parents were there from Peru, and they always let us kind of just hang at the house if we were going to get out of our heads and stuff. And so that he was a big record collector. He was one of these guys I knew early on who would buy records from people in Europe, had all the early 45s, English psychedelic music and stuff like that. And I remember I was sitting there with him, and I just kept, you know, sometimes when you're kind of in a certain frame of mind, you might get into repetitive thinking. I just kept saying, you know, I can't fucking stand the Beatles. He had this amazing poster of the Beatles on his wall. I was like, I can't believe anyone would like the Beatles, because in my mind, it was like, that was like my parents' music, you know? And so I would just like repetitively say, like, I hear the similarities, but the Beatles are fucking bullshit, man. And he put this record on, and I asked him, I was like, wow, this is incredible. What is this? And he just went on and on and on. He made up some name, told me what it was, and then he flipped it to the B-side, and it came on, and the song came on. I was like, this is fucking incredible. What is this? And he tells me, it's the Beatles. It's Revolver. I can't believe it. I can't believe what I'm hearing. I'm disappointed in my, I'm like almost upset at this point. He's playing me the Beatles, and I love it. I can't believe it that I love the Beatles. And then I remember my exact
words. I think there's a lesson somewhere there, though.
What's that?
There was a lesson being taught somewhere, not on purpose, but.
No, certainly not. I mean, it was just confronting my bias, you know, but I was a. But he says to me, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, it's the Beatles' Revolver. And I'm just like, oh, fuck, now I like the Beatles. God damn it. And then I remember my exact words were, but I still fucking hate Pink Floyd. Two records later, amazing sounding record comes on. I'm like, what is this? You got to tell me what this is. And he laughs in my face and he says, man, this is Pink Floyd. This is Piper at the Gates of Dawn.
Lesson number two.
There you go. And then he put on Trapmaster Replica, and I wasn't ready for it. I said, you got to take this off. Years later, I understood it. But at the time, I said, you got it.
The guy, Matt Groening, the Simpsons creator guy, he said the same thing. He couldn't handle that first, and then he got so fucking into it.
Oh, yeah. At first, I was just like, I was tripping. There's no way I was going to get into it at that moment. I just wasn't ready for it, you know. Now, of course, I understand it's genius, but.
I saw one of the last gigs he did before he went to Peyton 100%. And it started with Eric Drew Feldman doing Candy Corn on a bass solo. Eric Drew Feldman was at that gig Thursday.
Yeah, he was playing with Perry Ewa, huh?
That's right.
Wow.
Shows do go you.
Yeah.
Don't be mean to people because you might see him again. I love that man. He's a big inspiration. Somebody fucking kiped his keyboard. Anyway,
at that show?
Yeah, yeah. No, before, on the way there, right? A Uber ride, right? He, yeah, donate. Somebody in a BMW, they got on some kind of ring video. Or look, I want to play Guild of Cowards, because that's what this fucking thief was. Oh, Watch for Pedro Show Last Chuck of This Music. Start off that chuck with Guild of Cowards from Coffin Prick. Then Tom Moody and the all-new Greatest Hits Band. That's a name. Girl on Fire. Bombas Brendan with Big Tussle. And finally, Coffin Prick, singular, with Western Folly.
Yeah.
The way I understand it, the policy most responsible for was Western expansion here was Man Erect Next to Me.
Yep.
Now, all this stuff you're bringing out now, right? Because you owe the guys you played with, and I don't know. You want to kind of close a chapter to start a new one?
Yeah, well, you know, it came up. There was all this, with the Coffin Pricks, the plural band, there was all this stuff that hadn't been done. A guy from a record label who knew the drummer said, I would love to put this stuff out. And I said, you know what? Let's do it. Let's put a cap on it. It's nice that it's there. I think it's good. It's not really where my head's at, but I appreciate the time and I'm happy to do it, you know. So I'm already, you know, I'm doing something very different, which is my own music, which is the way I've probably always made music on my own anyways.
We're talking Coffin Prick singular.
Yeah. So, like, that's the focus. The band is not really my focus. Although I have a live group for Coffin Prick singular, which we'll do the show in Los Angeles, the show in Chicago. But I mean, the stuff, the Coffin Prick stuff is like, you know, it's like, I guess you could call it archival or something. It's just putting the stuff out there.
Sure. I understand. Well, I think that's totally valid, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when something happens, that's kind of a coincidence. So you document it. That's beautiful. What's the label?
Fuck, what is the label called? I don't even know the.
Well, I want to let people know so they can find it.
Well, it's not going to be out for another 6 or 7 months, so I don't really know. I can't remember the guy's label.
Okay.
I'm in the process of doing the finishing touching on the mixes of it right now, and actually the guy who's doing the cover for it is a guy you've done some music with, John Herndon.
Oh, Johnny. Yeah. Johnny Machine, that man. I'm going to record with him in the beginning of August with Bucky Pope from the Tar Babies, Maroney from Bazooka, and Pete Mazich from the Second Man here in Pedro at Casa Hanzo. Look, is there a website for singular Coffin Prick?
There is. There's one of these Bandcamp things here. Let me see if I can find the exact address. I'm not real good with all this computer stuff. I'm sorry, Mike.
It's probably coffinprick.bandcamp.com.
Yes, that must be it. Yeah, that's got to be it.
Coffinprick, people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because right.
I want them to hear this, you know, and especially since I don't really have the final mixes here, huh? Well, I do have the Coffin Prick, but not the Pricks.
No, the Pricks. Those are unmastered. Those are just. I just wanted to get them out there.
Sure. And give credit to the guys you played with, because you know, whenever you play, you're investing in the next time. So in a way, at that period, 17 years or whatever before, they were helping you along.
Yeah, and I'm still in touch with them. You know, there's still people I respect. You know, and so
who's in the singular band? For live gigs.
A live band in Chicago. Well, okay, in Los Angeles is a guy named Aaron Olson, who plays in a band called LA Takedown that I play with occasionally. A guy named Cole Berliner, a guitar player from a great band called Kamikaze Palm Tree. A guy named Alejandro Salazar is a drummer who plays in a band called Rinks. A guy named Ben Boy, who I've played with in the Cairo Gang. He plays in Ty Siegel and the Freedom Band. He plays with Will Oldham. And then a guy's going to play keyboard named Walt Clements, who's plays in a band called Wiseblood. He also makes great music as on his own called Lonesome Leash. And in Chicago, I got a lot of old friends. A guy named Sam Wagster, who I think was on your show.
Yep, he was.
He's a great guitar player. He's going to play guitar with me. Doug McCombs from Tortoise.
Yes. Good bass man.
Yeah, he's playing bass. A woman named Azita Yusefi is one of my all-time favorite people. She makes records as Azita. She also was in the Scissor Girls and Bride of Nono. A woman named Billy Howard is playing keys as well, who I don't know. She plays with Bobby Kahn. I'm just going to meet her for the first time when I get there. And then a drummer named Josh Johan Peter, who played with a lot of people. He's a real great drummer. And so, yeah, I got different bands in the cities.
Yeah, but these sound like good people to play with, not just for gigs. Do you want to have future plans to record with him?
I hope so. I don't really want to make another record like I had. You know, I don't really particularly enjoy making records on my own. It was out of necessity that I did.
I mean, not to rub in the Beatles or anything, but one is the loneliest number.
That song told a true tale.
or one reporter's opinion. Look, whatever you get going in the future, the invite right now is out to you, Ryan. Would you please come back on the show and we could play it and talk about it?
Yeah, I would love to.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful. So keep on keeping on, please. Thank you again, Stevie Bono, for making the connect. People, it's been the June 26, 2023 edition of Wofford Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.